About 5 years ago, you might recall that we announced our drive to begin construction on a new building. And now as you drive onto the property, you can see the northern end of our school building where the basketball courts used to be. Looks like a big, well right now, a pile of mud from all the rain. But out of all of that dirt, we see rising a structure. We see the foundation's been laid. We see that a number of the beams are up, and you can more or less get at least a partial picture of the footprint of the new activity center. Now, before any of that happened, there was a whole process involved. We had to engage in a capital campaign to raise money for it. So we've got some of it anyway. Then we had to have an architect put some plans together. The builder, the contractor then, to start putting the pictures into a reality. And then, of course, we had to get all the necessary permissions from the Archdiocese and even more so from civic authorities to be able to change the footprint of our property. It was a process, and it continues to be a process until that day comes that we're able to move in. And all the electrical and all the plumbing and all the finishes and everything else is ready. And that day when we can dedicate it and move in and have that space available to us. Now, you know, they taught us a lot of things in the seminary. Construction wasn't one of them. But it is a very much a biblical concept, as we see in the second reading today from St. Peter. St. Peter is speaking to those first century Christians. And he speaks to us today and he says that we are like living stones being built into a spiritual house. Now, it's interesting that what he said to them and what he says to us today was not, he didn't say you are living stones that have been built into a spiritual house. He used it in the sense of an act in progress. Because our spiritual lives, our life as a Christian community, is always an act in progress. It continues to evolve as we continue to mature. It continues to move forward as we continue to grow and be open to the movement of the Spirit's action in our lives. When we talk about those stones, there's a number of analogies we can use, but certainly the one thing is that they were connected. In order to form that building, the materials, the bricks or the stone, have to be connected by mortar. You can't just put them up and expect them to stand and to withstand any kind of force of the elements. They have to stand together. They have to be joined together by something that is common. In a building, it's mortar. In a church, it's Jesus Christ. That each stone may be unique, may be different, but each one is connected to the other by the power and by the grace that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. In our own spiritual lives, there are stones, there are building blocks that we need to take care of. Because, you know, sometimes we look and we think, well, once we've gone through the sacraments, we've done it. Well, I was confirmed and I've fulfilled all I needed to do with my Catholicism. You know, sometimes the more challenging couples I deal with in for marriages, when they come in, they're engaged. And I tell them, well, there's a preparation process that we go through. And they say, Father, we don't need to do that. We went to Catholic school. And I said, okay, well, you know, we can't stop with our 8th grade education or our 12th grade education. We're constantly learning, and we need to be open to how the Spirit calls us to grow, how God calls us to live out our call to discipleship in whatever vocation to which God calls us, whether that is marriage, motherhood, fatherhood, whether it may be single life, whether it may be priesthood or religious life. It doesn't matter what our vocation is in that sense, but that we're continually open to growing. Now, I'd put to you today that there are three building blocks or three cornerstones that every living stone in this spiritual house needs to give attention to. In some sense, that kind of makes up that mortar that's connected to our relationship with Jesus Christ. The first is worship. It's what we do on Sunday, to be sure. When we gather around the Lord's altar, where we receive Him, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist, where God literally comes to become one with us, not because we're so worthy, not because we're so perfect, but despite our unworthiness, despite our imperfection. Someone once, I believe a lot of us hold to the idea that, well, the whole idea of church and the gospel is about turning bad people into good people. I don't think that's true. It's not about God changing us from being bad people into good people. That's not what Jesus did. He changed dead people into living people, sick people into well people, sinners into forgiven people. It was all about restoration. Not transformation, restoring us to that which we are called to be in the first place. When we gather around the altar of God's Word and the altar of the Eucharist, we come together to touch God and to be touched by God. And as we dedicate ourselves to worship, not just here on Sunday, but carrying that out into our personal prayer lives, letting God speak to us through Scripture during the week, even if it's just giving God 5 minutes a day. Or praying the rosary, as Our Lady at Fatima beckoned us to do for our own conversion and the conversion of the world. It's allowing ourselves to recognize that God is with us and present at every moment. And our worship, our simply spending that quality time with God, is worth the time and the effort. The second would be formation. Like I said before, we can't say, well, I finished at eighth grade, or I finished in high school, any more than any of us would say that we'd want our doctor to say, I went to medical school, I got my degree, but I haven't studied anything to do with surgery since I left. Make you a little nervous, right? Because if someone went to medical school 25 years ago, wouldn't you want them to be using the most up-to-date medicines, treatments, surgical techniques today? Why would you want to have yourself cut open when it could be done arthroscopically, right? The one might work, but another one's better. When we unpack the treasures of our faith, not just knowing why what we believe, it's not about just memorizing pages out of a catechism, but why we believe it and how it can apply, how it's relevant. Being open to taking advantages of things like Alpha, like Walking with Purpose, like That Man Is You, like our parish subscription to formed.org, where we can open up things, our adult faith programs that we offer. All of those ways are ways that can enrich us, that can draw us in to knowing more about what we believe and why we believe it, and to really solidify us in our faith, rather than just say, okay, I believe it, I don't understand it, but I'll do it anyway. That's just blind obedience. That's just a blind faith, and it's not that that's not virtuous, but it certainly doesn't help us, particularly when our faith is challenged, when things in our life aren't going the way that we'd like them to go, when things aren't working out the way we want them to work out. In some sense, we have a faith that's then a house of cards that just comes tumbling down. when a tragedy happens or a disappointment comes in. Jesus Christ indeed is the firm foundation, but we need to continue allowing that spiritual house to be constructed. And then finally, giving. Worship to God. Growing in our faith through continuous formation and giving. In other words, being of service. Reaching out. Not circling the wagons and being an insular community or an insular Christian where it's just me and Jesus. But recognizing that part of our life of discipleship is outward thinking, outward looking, outward reaching. Evangelization is the first mission of the church, of reaching out with the love of Jesus Christ, not in a judgmental manner, not in a holier-than-thou or self-righteous manner, but in an invitational manner. Just as God accepts us right where we are and knows that that's not where He wants us to stay, so we need to be able to reach out to people that we love, that we care for, that we know, that God puts in our lives right where we are, and walk with them from there. You know, sometimes people will say, well, you know, I've invited people to church, I've invited people to this, I've invited people to that, and they just say no. You know, sometimes people will say no 7 to 10 times before they say yes. Because, you know, oftentimes people will think, well, if I show up in church, I'm going to be judged, or I'm going to be uncomfortable. If I say yes, I might show up into a situation where people might shove religion down my throat. It's not about that. And we need to be a people who change that narrative. It's not about shoving anything around anyone's down anyone's throat. It's not about putting out judgments, because God knows any of us could be equally judged. It's about showing the love of Christ. It's about being examples. And it's about bringing Christ's love to a hurting world. It's about having a stake in the church's mission. And certainly part of that is our financial contributions, but a huge part of that is how we're living our lives. How we are reaching out and living the gospel and being agents of invitation. And so today, as we celebrate this Mother's Day and we honor our moms, those who have given us life, brought us into this world, nurtured us, many of whom were the first ones to teach us in the ways of faith, let it also be a time where we move forward as that spiritual building, that spiritual house, each of us being one of those living stones, living animated by the power of God's Holy Spirit, committed to our worship, growing in our faith, and committed to our mission, that no one would go without knowing the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.